Hey, this is Linda from Arizona. I just wanted to tell you that I love you personally, Joe, and I love your show. And
you're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Toilet Hill Radio Show. This is your first show. What we do here is we offer you metal-related diversions for your commute. We interview artists. We talk about the news. We discuss the history of this genre you all know and love. And we make a lot of jokes. And you know what? Along the way, we learn how to love. If this is your 100th episode, thank you for sticking with us. If this is your first episode, thanks for joining us. If you like what we do here and you want to hear more, the first thing you need to do is you need to find the link that I've put below this. You need to smash that motherfucking subscribe button. Also, give us 5 stars on iTunes and review us. That way we can climb the charts and get ahead of grifters like Gary Vaynerchuk or Ty Lopez or some shit. And speaking of grifting, if you really like the show, you can go over to patreon.com/toiletofhell and give us money and get bonus episodes so you can hear more of the talkity talk that you all love. I am Joe Thrash and Kill. With me today, I've got my co-host 365 Days of Horror. Say hi.
Hello.
And we are joined by a very special guest today. Returning champion, Christian Molinar. Christian, how you doing?
I'm all right. How are you guys?
I am full of Czech pastries, so I cannot complain.
Sounds solid.
It's not too bad. Jordan, I tried describing kolaches to him before we started recording, and he was not enthused by... Well, mystery meats within bread.
Well, first of all, it doesn't even sound appetizing. Kolache
sounds appetizing.
It sounds like something you get when you sit on a suspect toilet.
Yeah, appetizing.
You just gotta roll with it. This is what people ate for centuries, just rando meats and bread. And it's good. You know, you can put it in your pocket. Carry it with you. Have a little snack throughout the day. Anyway, are you full of any mystery meats, Christian?
I wish.
In the time since I last spoke with you, you went and you made it big. You appeared on Ambrothini Alertano's Needle Drop. What was that like?
Really surprising and strange. I didn't expect it at all. And I don't know it. I don't like the guy really at all. And it kind of bums me out that a bunch of like dickheads found our music through it. But at the same time, they paid for stuff, so it was cool.
Yeah, I don't think you really get like a choice of who listens to your music, I suppose, if you're an artist.
Unfortunately.
But I mean, like, if you did have your choice of who listened to it, who would that be?
Probably just you forever, just on like a constant loop in your head, just really high volume. You never get any reprieve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, I could see how that would be satisfying for, you perhaps. I don't think that's like a recipe for long-term success.
I mean, it'll be the rest of your life, which probably wouldn't be much longer with that condition.
We are going to, later on in this episode, spend the brunt of our time talking about how to make it in music. And I feel like the three of us, me, a low-level metal blogger, and you, an avant-garde metal musician, between actually the three of us, we know what success is.
Yeah, definitely.
Be sure to stick around. If you listened to our episode 2 weeks ago with Curtis Dewar, giving you advice on ways to be successful with your band. This is going to be the antithesis of it. We are going to show you how to destroy your life with your music. And I think this will be helpful advice for everybody that was just like, you know, things are a little too stable. I have a normal life. I want to end it. I want to just see how badly I can fuck things up before, like,
how long a suicide can really be.
In the meantime, what have you guys seen going on in the news? You guys seen this? You heard about the news? Jordan, what did you see?
Well, our friends Taki, or as I like to say, Take, because that's how it looks like it's spelled, they had a bunch of shows canceled in the United States after people protested them.
Huh. Well, I haven't really looked into this, but I assume that metal fans are understanding of the situation and accept it.
If there's one thing that metal fans are known for, it's being calm and accepting of other people's ideas and opinions.
Yeah, so what happened? Why did they get these shows canceled?
Well, for those that don't know, and a surprising amount of people, even in the metal world, don't really know about this, but the band, specifically the vocalist, his name escapes me, so I'm going to say
Host
Taki Von Take.
That's closer. It's Host, something like
Host,
that, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Hoist. So the band played a show, I think, in Germany, where he performed with a swastika scrawled across his chest, which, if you don't know, it is illegal to display the swastika in Germany.
What about my First Amendment rights of free speech?
Yeah, I don't think that works too well in a different country.
I thought this was America.
You're very wrong.
Excuse me?
And the band's also known for being fairly anti-Islamic. We covered on Toilet of Hell on one of the Shirt Stains articles I wrote a while back how the band on the back of their shirt just said anti-Islam on it. I think some of the lyrics to their albums are blatantly anti-Islamic when people have complained about the band. Hoist specifically said, go suck a Muslim or something like that. And the band's also well known for performing and having his wiener hang out of his pants during one set. So that exists too if you feel like looking it up on Google Images.
I have seen that. It seemed more like an accident. Like it just like his pants were too tight and just his little dong popped out.
I think what I get out of this is that this is the black metal Lenny Kravitz.
Yeah.
Was there a ring?
If folks are unfamiliar with that, you should definitely type in Google GIF Lenny Kravitz dick popping
penis.
Out. the dangers of wearing rock star type pants, I guess, and having a big dong. So what I've gathered is that in a bunch of groups across the nation, I think it was it Chicago or New York City that started this off?
I think New York.
Okay. A collection of New York City anti-fascists projected out on social media, like, this band is performing at this venue. Here is the contact information for the venue if you don't want this shit in your town. So, yeah, a bunch of people spoke up, and they were like, yeah, maybe we shouldn't give a platform to these folks in our city, in our scene. And so it worked in that the venue canceled the show. This is just one man's opinion, but like if the band wanted to, I'm sure that they could find another place to perform. So it's not like that's the end of it. But I could be wrong. Maybe they don't want to deal with booking a last minute show. But predictably, people are outraged that my freedom of speech is being trodden upon by asking a private business to not host edge boards. My favorite take every time this happens is Antifa are the real fascists. That's a galaxy brain level take, you know? what do you think about this?
I just think it's interesting that it's taken this long for this to happen. I mean, Taki played, I think, the United States last year on a tour sponsored by Metal Sox.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, right?
Yeah, they wrote a response about it recently. It was kind of just like a shoulder shrug of an article. Like, I don't know whether it was really like a sort of an apology or just a generic explanation, but it was a thing that happened. And, you know, other venues have taken suit and they've canceled some other shows. I have no problem with it. I'm okay with it. I think it's funny that the band has tried to say, like, we're not political, we're not racist, we've even played in Israel before, like, as the ultimate I have black friends type of answer to this situation.
If you ask me, you live by the edge, you die by the edge. You know, if you spent your career intentionally, like, riling folks up, you can't be too shocked when it comes back and bites you in the ass a little bit.
Yeah, there's no putting it back into the can after that. It's too late. It's out.
So the band did, you know, make that statement where they were like, hey, we're not Nazis, which congrats on, like, doing the lowest level possible thing. But even further Galaxy Brain level next to that was Paul Wagoner. I saw this because a number of bands and idiots had shared his statement, including Sangus of Rhode Island. Sangus, I see you. Paul Wagoner is a Nazi. He has, like, a bikey gang of powerlifters called Operation Werewolf. He has another thing called, like, Wolves of Vinland. It's just, he's covered in white power tattoos. And he has his, like, Julius Evola-inspired, just fascist book series. It's pretty obvious what it is. He put it out, this statement, basically chastising Taki for caving on and coming out and saying, we're not Nazis. It's like, ugh. Weak, you are sheep, never back down. That's cool. It was cool to see people share this around, like, yeah, never back down, always be a Nazi.
And then clarifying, like, oh, we're not political at all, we like the sentiment. It's like, come on.
I see you, and I think it's cool that you're coming out and doing this, because I feel like the current white nationalist tides in this country are going to get beaten down. So I don't think it's a long-term recipe for your band success to toss in your chips with some white power lifter that's probably like 2 months away from getting locked up.
Or massive coronary.
That too. That would also be very funny. All kinds of funny possibilities here, but Asiya, you're on lock. I don't care if your band gets shut down, if you, you know, made your career out of being an edge lord. You went out of your way to be shocking, and now you get consequences from it. Sucks to suck. That's one man's take. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't really know if your whole goal is to shock, and then you shock people, and you're trying to provoke a reaction, and then you get one. You can't really be upset that you got what you wanted.
Yeah, like, as much shit as we've talked on this show, like, if suddenly bands stopped trying, you know, stopped agreeing to come on our program, I would be like, oh, well, I guess I had that one coming, you know?
Well, we also have our convictions and believe what we believe. We're never going to step back from what we've said because some artist out there doesn't want to do an interview with us anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like a shitty UFC-inspired movie. I never back down.
It's like if Dave Mustaine ever said, nope, I'm not doing your show because of what you said about whatever, would you just be like, okay, next interview?
Yeah. And if we started, like, losing listeners because we said things that our audience was like, I disagree with that and I don't want to hear it, I feel ya. I'm not going to make you listen to something you don't want to hear. You got to live by your principles, man. But we are spouting the truth, and if you shy away from it, you are a pussy. yeah. Any other thoughts regarding this matter?
I like to think back to our interview we did with Riley Gale from Power Trip, and just how he explained how he turned down a tour with one of Phil Anselmo's bands. because of the things he said and done. And I'd love to see more bands doing that, like with a band like Taki.
Yeah, I agree. Didn't we have I apologize for forgetting the guy's name off the top. Chris from Votnet, he did a tour with Taki as well.
Yep.
And if you've heard those guys, they sound nothing like black metal. So I think that's just funny that that happened. That probably made a lot of fans really mad. That's where we're at. We get the opportunity, I'd say roughly every 2 weeks, to interview Phil Anselmo, and we have yet to do it. Despite Pantera being one of my favorite bands ever when I was a kid, I'm just not going to have him on this show.
That's zero interest speaking to him.
Yeah, especially because these goddamn projects that he's doing are so bad.
What is it this week, Phil?
This week I've recorded a spoken word record with a C-level horror star from the 80s. It's unlistenable.
Oh, that was so bad.
We'll play the donut song on the show one day. Christian, you seen anything else going on in the news?
I live in my echo chamber. I never see anything outside of my bubble.
What does your bubble look like exactly?
Round.
Fair. You do the weird avant-garde metal thing. When you get together with other musicians of that stripe, what do you guys like talk about?
It's tough to get together, I guess. There aren't a whole lot of people, but like last year we played with NR from Boston, who were one of my favorite bands, and we mostly just talked about Mexican food.
Interesting. Huh. Where are they from? Oh, Boston. you just said it. Okay, so I apologize. I've been staring at a still screen cap of Uncle Adam's, and it's just completely distracting me. I'm completely. All right, before we actually get into that, you've got, as we were talking about before the break, you've got things coming up. What do you have coming up?
We are going to be putting out a new album this year. It's all recorded and basically ready. We're just kind of figuring out how it's going to be released, basically. Other than that, we have another album after that, which is not entirely recorded, but mostly done, which will hopefully be out the year after that. And then we're also working on two other collaboration albums. And then we also have an EP coming out, which hopefully is next year too. It's too much stuff.
So is the goal to catch up to Gnaw Their Tongues in terms of releases per year?
We're trying to catch up to Merzbow.
When you're doing these songs and these albums, is there a writing process, or is it like, okay, I'm going to do a jazzy part for a minute and then you come in with the drums and then here comes the flute solo?
It's pretty much all written. There is a lot of improvisation happening, but usually those are kind of restricted to certain sections. But like last year we put out a new EP that was entirely improvised. We just had five chords and then it went through a bunch of different variations. But for the most part, it's actually really meticulously written to sound like it wasn't.
Interesting. what is the, I guess, what is the rationale behind that decision?
There isn't one. We're just dumb.
Do you guys, have you been recording in new and interesting places, or are you set up in your garage?
Mostly my garage. We had a track last year on a compilation, which you guys know, Fight Liar with Fire. We have a track on there that we, what's up?
I have it on my desk right now.
There you go. Yeah, our track on that, I think it might even say in the liner notes, we recorded it in the parking lot of a Chick-fil-A.
Did you actually do that?
We did. It was a bad idea, but we did it anyway.
How did the Chick-fil-A crowd react to that?
A lot of people walked by and looked for maybe 30 seconds at a time and then went in and got their tea and left.
You should have done it on a Sunday when they're always closed.
Well, we had to get our crowd out.
You needed the ambient crowd noise of people being disturbed as they get their chicken with pickle sandwiches.
But was there a rationale behind choosing Chick-fil-A over, say, an Arby's? Or
it was where we were at the time.
So you decided, I got my nugs, I got my tendies, let's just go ahead and crank one out, boys.
Definitely.
And then we played music.
Hey! Goo, 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 goo.
So for these new albums, are you trying to look to put in different types of instruments? Like, are we going to hear a Moto Grader on the next one?
I wish. No, I think they have the patent on that. There's a lot of new stuff, especially on our album that comes out later this year. There's sort of these like synth parts to it, but it's not like we didn't add a keyboardist or anything. We did something much dumber. We were growing mold, and then we worked with this group in Mexico called Interspecifics, who create software for analyzing data about slime mold growth. It's called Physarum. And basically we sonified the information as it comes through. So the mold is basically being converted into music.
What does mold sound like?
Beeps and bloops.
How do your lungs feel after breathing in this mold you've been growing?
I got them removed. I just have like pieces of metal there now.
Air sacs.
cool. What did you hope to glean from the mold? What did you hope that maybe you could learn a lesson from how it grows?
No, I just wanted the bleeps and bloops.
Okay. Everything that you do is completely baffling to me, but I respect that.
I'll take it.
Speaking of things that you do that are completely baffling to me, you messaged me earlier this week, and you sent me this video of this guy, and you said, "It is genuinely difficult to make it through this series of videos, but trust me, it's well worth it." Okay, so I am not, we talk about it all the time, I'm not a video person. I don't really keep up with any shit going on YouTube. The only things I really watch are King of the Hill reruns and horror movies that my girlfriend puts on. So I was completely unfamiliar with the subject of this video. Can you tell me who this is about?
I sent you a video of a Canadian youth pastor rapper named Uncle Adams. He's not actually a youth pastor. What's that?
It'd be Uncle with a K.
Like, yeah, you can't. It's like Uncle Cracker.
Right, right.
But more of a cracker.
Difficult to do.
Somehow he topped him. But he's not actually a youth pastor, but he is sort of a motivational speaker. He has a bunch of videos on his YouTube about like how to quit smoking in 10 days or something. But he also he used to do presentations at like middle schools and high schools about like, I don't know, anti-bullying raps, basically. And he is actually no longer allowed to do that because one of his music videos had actual like yearbook photos of kids who had killed themselves. And another specifically outlines a girl drinking bleach.
Oh, my God.
It's if you want to talk edge.
Yeah, well, I mean, there you go again. You you go edgy, you get kicked out of venues.
And these were exclusive ones.
Yeah, Taki, you got a lot to learn from Uncle Adams. okay, so I'm looking at his YouTube channel. He has separate sections for music videos, motivational videos, more music videos, more lyric videos, more motivational videos, self-help videos, which are different from motivational videos.
I guess so.
And then funny videos, which appear to be him just adding Snapchat filters to himself while talking to a camera.
I'm pretty sure all the other videos can be considered funny videos too, right?
No, they're mostly sad.
I, I'm looking at a thumbnail for a video called Beast Mode, in which he is shirtless underneath a barbell, and it is making me chuckle. Yes.
Like Alex Jones style?
Picture Alex Jones just without any fat or muscle.
He's a little scrawny.
Yeah, he's a little dude. By my estimation, he has roughly 7,000 songs on YouTube, and I've never heard. Well, I take that back. I've listened to 2 minutes of one that you sent me.
Was that the one where he dresses as a leprechaun?
Yes, he is nice. Dressed and sounds very much like a leprechaun. He's got a small person voice, and he's spitting hot fire. How did you come to find out about Uncle Adams?
I initially saw him like maybe 2 years ago when he first uploaded that leprechaun video, which is for a song called Original. Which is basically about him wanting to be original within the world of really shitty hip-hop.
First off, I'm thankful for everyone that follows me and everyone that doubted me can swallow their apology. I'm the kind of character that's written in mythology. Living in the present day, it's in my biology.
He posted this on Facebook with the caption, "Even people who don't like rap like this guy," and then shared it. And that went everywhere because it's terrible.
I would say especially people that don't like rap, like this guy. He's very much going for that Macklemore market of...
but more like Macklemore for like your racist uncle.
Yeah, yeah. Does he have
Like he could share this and be like, you know, why don't the black people talk about this?
Does he have any raps about Blue Lives Mattering?
Almost definitely. I am thankfully ignorant of those, but it's likely.
Uber Menschelcore.
it's like rap, but if they pulled their darn pants up.
Exactly. No, that's exactly what it is. And even he goes into that. He talks about how he raps, but not about like drugs or money or sex or anything. Instead, just teenagers drinking bleach.
Which is somehow worse. Okay, so... This is a guy who's got his dream of making an incredibly shitty rap for your racist aunts and uncles to send to you on Facebook and be like, "See, this is motivational." How is he doing achieving that dream?
Well, I used to think he must be doing all right because his videos are pretty well produced. As terrible as his music is, it's at least recorded okay. You know, it's fairly professional sounding and looking in its presentation. But, I always assumed this was some guy like, you know, he's got his 401k, he's all set, and this is just something he does on the side.
Right.
It turns out that is not the case. Oh. And several years ago, to devote himself to his dream, he decided to quit his job. And as you can imagine, when your music is this bad, that did not work out for him well. So in addition to quitting his job, he has also sold his house. In spite of this, he is still $164,000 in debt. So he uploaded a series of videos called the At Least a Million Mission, where his goal is to reach, I think it's, he wants to make $1 million and also get a million monthly listeners on Spotify. But by the end, by episode 9, he is now $227,000 in debt. So it's almost doubled. So it hasn't worked out great.
Does he explain where that debt comes from?
Yes. The new debt. He's not a particularly intelligent guy.
He had to be doing pretty well to begin with if he was able to, like, he's not, you know, I would guess that this guy is in his early to mid 30s, so he was doing well enough to at least have a house before, which is, you know.
Yeah, no, he is in his early 30s. He mentions that as an obstacle to his success in one of the episodes.
Same. So he was doing before. He was doing okay-ish before in the private life.
Presumably. I think Canada must be extremely forgiving of poor credit scores because he somehow keeps getting loans. But he never actually has money. At one point, he shows his bank account has $38.27 in it. what he does for money, he used to buy tools and sell at Home Depot and sell them to pawn shops. But then he stepped it up. He got a Best Buy credit card, which does not allow you any real money. It's only for in-store purchases. So he just buys TVs at Best Buy and then resells them at a loss to buy groceries.
Holy shit. Okay. For our listeners that have never been in dire financial straits, selling your shit to a pawn shop is possibly the most dehumanizing experience you can have, in which somebody will look at you across the counter and say, "You're a fucking sucker," and give you like a tenth.
This is what you're worth to me.
Yeah, give you like a tenth of what you paid for something for your hard-earned purchase. So like selling tools, it's a popular thing. Like around, I find the back of my truck has been rifled through pretty much every morning when I go out to my car, because people are looking for tools to like sell at pawn shops to get like a couple of dollars, because you don't get much. So this is possibly the worst business plan that I've ever heard in my life.
Other than motivational rap about bleach.
I mean, if nothing else, you could do better on Craigslist. Sell, if you got to sell shit, sell it on Craigslist. Really, you'll make so much more money than selling it at a pawn shop. That's an aside. But that part was baffling to me.
Well, there are some things that I really do think, like, it's amazing how poorly he is managing himself. Because there are some positives for him. I mean, he's made a couple albums. He's got them all on YouTube and Spotify. They're all over the place. He's got a really strong presence on like Facebook and Twitter. He's putting out, again, they're awful, but they're well-produced videos. So it's like he's got a solid product and he's decent enough at marketing to his terrible audience that he can get these videos out. He has like 26,000 subscribers on YouTube, which is not huge, but I mean, his videos are... What's it?
It's more than we got.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's better than the toilet. Mm-hmm. I think that's basically what we're getting at.
Sure.
But I mean, he has a lot going for him, really, which sounds weird because he's like the worst person. But I mean, he's got a strong product and he knows his audience. He was going out and doing these things in schools, I guess. But for some reason, he just thought that he was good enough that he could just go all the way. So rather than just continuing to work a day job and just recording on the side, like at his own house or something, he quit his job. He pays for studio time. He does not have a label. He just pays for everything, including his video production. It's really not great.
So what's baffling about that to me is, in the realm of hip hop, unless you're like a huge, huge rapper, you really don't need to pay for studio time.
You don't, because I mean, all you're doing is just recording vocals.
Yeah, you're recording vocals. You're recording a loop that you made in Fruity Loops. And you can do everything at home with a couple hundred dollars of equipment. So that seems like an unnecessary cost.
Definitely.
The well-produced videos, if part of your strategy is getting a lot of monetizing your YouTube channel, I could see how that would make sense to have a well-produced video. But again, like, who is he paying to do this? Does he not have a friend that can maybe cut him a deal?
Yeah, exactly. And like he has a camera. Otherwise, he wouldn't make these like vlogs and stuff. So like clearly he can film stuff. He has a computer, so he can record stuff, but he just doesn't.
Huh. So
throughout these videos, do we ever hear from any family members or friends of his?
Yes. He has a girlfriend and he has various friends who like appear in his videos just as like his entourage, and they are all enablers.
Yeah, there's no intervention coming for him.
No, not at all. Or else they just want him to like reach true rock bottom first.
He's got $220,000 in debt and like nothing to show for it. That rock bottom is coming a lot sooner than you think it is.
It really is.
Pretty soon you can't keep up minimum payments on any of those cards, and then like I guess Canada doesn't have debtors' prison like the U.S. is building back up, so that's a positive on his side. But damn,
is it really though?
I don't know. He does probably need a little time to think about things. I found his description. Curtis Uncle Adams is a Canadian rapper and motivational speaker based in Regina, Saskatchewan. Drawn to hip-hop in his early teens, Adams began experimenting as a freestyle MC, eventually working out his own distinctive style based on positivity and inspiration. Having a nephew who is actually 10 days older than him, he naturally earned his uncle nickname and eventually chose Uncle Adams as a stage name. By 2013, he'd begun releasing singles, beginning with One of a Kind and the powerful I Am Stronger, an anti-bullying anthem that would become a centerpiece in his motivational work. Over the next few years, Adams would begin a prolific run, releasing his debut album, Humble Beginnings, in 2014, followed a year later by Pulse, his third album, planting seeds in 2016. Working as a heavy equipment operator, Adams funded and self-released all of his material, displaying a work ethic that has become central to his identity. Okay, I'm not going to argue with that. He's hustling. He's working hard on this. The problem is that he's... Work smarter, not harder, stupid.
Exactly.
Number one, staying within, like, realizing how much money you're making in with this and how much money you're spending on it. You've got to come to some kind of compromise there. Cut out costs where you can. Number two, why, man? Like, why are you doing this? Like, there's got to be some kind of just a horrible, horrible bug in his brain that's telling him that this is the thing that he has to do.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you go through these videos, he's clearly just a broken person. When it gets to episode 6, he can't pay his video guy anymore, so he's kind of just like manically talking into the camera, and the editing is all jumpy, and he's trying to sell his car, and then when he does, he has to get a ride back to his house from the people who bought it.
Jesus Christ. They wouldn't even give him a ride?
They do end up giving him a ride, and he's really stoked about it. I think that's the first, like, good thing that's ever happened to him.
I got a lot of questions for his girlfriend. If we could get her on the show, I want to pick her brain a little bit and see exactly what she's thinking about all of this.
I think if either of them hear this, they will not be happy. There's a group on Facebook. It was called Uncle Adams Original Posting, and now it's called negative $227,000 posting. And it turns out he has been a member with a fake account for like over a year.
Oh, no.
And he had just threatened legal action to the like 17,000 members or something.
Yeah, I'm sure. Which, I mean,
if you're going to sue 17,000 people, you're probably going to have to flip a lot of TVs from Best Buy.
Yeah, I'm sure that lots of lawyers out there are willing to work on this case pro bono.
Just on credit.
I'll pay you back, promise. Cool. So, why do you watch these videos?
I like a glimpse into my future.
You think this is the future of those darn gnomes?
I really hope not. But I mean, I think it is good as like a cautionary tale, sort of, where you can see someone who has just made every decision wrong. So just do the exact opposite of everything he's ever done and you'll be fine.
Yeah. It's hard to argue with that.
I mean, don't quit your job. Don't sell your house. Don't sell your car. Don't sell tools to pawn shops to fund your terrible music that you paid for at a studio.
It's fun. He has some of this right, and that he's working the right angles to make a little bit of money from this. Surely, like, sure, he has almost 4 million views on YouTube and he's monetizing those videos, surely he can get a little something back from that and something from Spotify. I mean, we're talking about a couple hundred dollars a year, maybe. That's, it's a,
I mean, if you already have a job, like that's cool. Like, oh, you know, I made some money, supplementary income, just off doing what I love, like doing what I want to do made me a little extra money, but it's not going to make you a living.
No, and I see people in other realms of life doing not quite this level of degradation, but I mentioned them at the beginning of the show, like dudes like Gary Vaynerchuk and Tai Lopez. If you've watched YouTube, you've seen surely the ads of the guy claiming that he reads a book a day and like, look at my Lamborghinis. That's a guy that had a little bit of money to start off with, and he's been just relentlessly promoting himself, buying listens to his dumbass podcasts on iTunes to climb the charts. Same as Gary Vaynerchuk. Vaynerchuk was born like into a family with millions of dollars, and he claims that he's been self-made from that. It's you know, he has a huge budget to self-promote and to artificially boost his stock, partly by buying listens on the iTunes store. So you got to take these kind of people, these motivational types, with a huge chunk of salt, because they're all selling something, and it's themselves. They're not going to help you find success. Uncle Adams, his motivational rapping is, I don't know, I good for the blue hair crowd on Facebook, I guess, but there's not a whole lot else you can get out of it, I guess.
Yeah, that's what's so interesting, is he's selling himself, but that is really not much of a product. And I don't even mean that as like a personal burn or anything, just as like, this is a dude who had $38 in his bank account and then bought $80 worth of shoes for a music video and got a new haircut. Like, that's something he talks about in these videos. It's just like, oh yeah, I just like spent $20 on a haircut and bought two pairs of shoes at Payless just because that's what he needed for his video, I guess, instead of food for him and his girlfriend.
So how does this end? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, according to YouTube, 15 hours ago, he uploaded a new video.
Oh, God.
Which, it's called Enough is Enough, but unfortunately, it is not him giving up. instead, apparently, my previously mentioned bud, the needle drop, or as Uncle Adam calls him, the needle dick, which seems inappropriate considering he addresses the video to 13-year-olds. Apparently, he was reviewed, and he's trying to get Anthony Fantano to sign a contract saying if Uncle Adams makes $1 million, the needle drop will delete his YouTube channel or something.
Seems like a good bet, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it's dark. And apparently, he's going to keep going. He's going to upload more videos.
Got to stay grinding.
I don't think you can stay what you never were.
What do you think, Jordan? What's, because this is all brand new to you. We didn't even tell you a little bit about this before we started recording.
The thing I find most fascinating, I guess, out of all of this is if the internet's known for one thing, it's known for dragging people who embarrass themselves. Like, I just think of Rebecca Black with that Friday song. It was one of those so bad that like everyone went nuts for it, and like she ended up on doing late night TV and interviews and whatever. I don't know how much success she had, but people know who she is.
Song with Katy Perry.
So there you go, and it's just kind of like, why does that work, and why has he not gotten anything? Just even like, look at how dumb this guy is, a million views.
I think that kind of has worked for him, where like that video original. When he posted that one, people did share it around, and that's how I first found him. I just thought, like, damn, this guy really sucks. This is hilarious. But now I think he's sort of he has the same train of thought as what you were just saying of, like, if something stupid like Rebecca Black, that will work for her, how come his music that he really believes in won't work for him? And I think it just speaks to a tremendous lack of perspective on his part that he has no idea how talentless he actually is.
I think that his real problem here is he has a base level of competence in what he's doing that prevents him from achieving like Rebecca Black fame or what was the name of that band that Hoogie Boogie Land?
Complete.
Yeah, it's missing that X factor of just a total outsider doing something that we are all familiar with, but it's just so bafflingly disconnected from what you expect that it has that X factor of virality, you know?
So it's not bad enough to be good, it's just bad.
Yeah, it's
yeah, exactly. It's like horseshoe theory, where like you have actually good stuff on one end and you have like so bad it's good on the other end, and that in between everything else is just mediocre.
My lady's been listening to The Flop House. It's a movie podcast about bad movies. Everybody probably knows about it because I'm sure it's like one of the more popular ones. They've got their rating is like good, 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 bad, or bad, bad. And what you really are looking for in making something that's unique is being good, bad. That's how you know that like the product that you've put out is horrible. But it is very, very engaging. So, I don't know. Do you have any... I have a couple ideas for things that he could do that maybe will push him over the edge.
Push him over the edge in which direction?
Well, both, actually, I guess. Pushing him over the edge of sanity and pushing him over the edge of fame. Suggestion? Just try getting real racist. I mean, there's a big audience of racists out there. Like, just go ahead and drop a few slurs in your next rap and see how that goes for you.
I love the concept of racist rap music. A couple weeks ago, I was at like there was this big rally. I live in San Diego, as you may know. And there's a sizable Mexican population since we're right on the border. And there's a park here called Chicano Park. Some like white nationalists were trying to go like take down Mexican flags in the park and put up American ones, even though there already are some. But they all showed up and they were just playing like Make America Great Again rap songs. It was really dark.
I am. That is funny. And I'm also surprised that a bunch of face tattooed Latino dudes didn't just beat the shit out of them.
Oh, that's almost what happened. Basically, their group announced they were going to show up, and it ended up being like 20 people. Meanwhile, all the opposition was like 700 or something. So it was a pretty sizable difference in size, I guess. And they ended up playing their songs, and then they all really badly sang Born in the USA. And then, no
that
joke.
That song about nationalism we all know and love.
Exactly. Then this is not a joke. I wish I could have made this up. They played Down with the Sickness and then asked the police to escort them out.
Beautiful.
That is something that really happened. But anyway, that's unrelated to Uncle Adam's other than
the god David Draymond makes his way on another podcast appearance.
You can't escape the dream.
David, please do our show.
Just get Howie Mandel.
I would love to. both of them. Let's have them both on. Fuck it.
As Uncle Adam's, your unintentionally other ideas.
Unintentionally we did hit it. Like there I have heard like white nationalist rapping, which is just such a bizarre concept. Also, like you and I spent a lot of time talking a couple of years ago talking about like redneck rap. Like,
Bubba Sparks.
Dudes that are like country fans, like that are rapping in front of their lifted pickup trucks, talking about like hunting
like
and
Florida camo. Georgia Line, but much more inbred.
Yes, extremely white trash shit. Florida Georgia Line, like those guys, you say whatever you want about them, but they know what they're doing.
That's like county fair rap.
Yeah. They're polished. Those guys sell out Madison Square Garden for multiple dates. Like they've got sponsorship deals with Fireball Whiskey. Like they are very much a polished product. But these other ones are just like, okay, you're actually a racist, but you like rap too. So that's my suggestion for Uncle Adams. Try getting racist.
Just embrace it.
Yeah. Lean in, as it were. Do you guys have any thoughts for what might make
one of the ideas in the Facebook group that the 17,000 people had was to begin buying his debt so they could own Uncle Adams.
Own a share in Uncle Adams. Yeah.
Invest. Another one is he never actually copyrighted the name Uncle Adams in the U.S. or Canada, so they were going to get a trademark on it so that he couldn't.
That's so cruel.
Yeah, there's some really nice pettiness going around.
I've joined a couple of these shitposting groups in the past, like King of the Hill shitposting and Simpsons shitposting. I can't imagine... I'm sure there's probably one for Fitano as well, right?
Probably.
That must be the most toxic Facebook group on Earth, aside from like the MAGA circles. Jordan, do you have any ideas for what might make Uncle Adams a superstar?
I think what would help him is having him be a Canadian and choosing to become a U.S. citizen, because Canada boos socialism and, you know, universal health care and stuff like that. I want to be an American where I can be free. I think people would eat that shit up.
Yeah, actually, I would agree with that. I think his fan base would probably go really well for him. You know, even though he's an immigrant, at least he's white. He could come here and get the American dream.
He's the good kind of immigrant.
pale one.
You come to the United States with $300,000 in debt, like you've got nothing but the gutter waiting for you.
Well, it's funny. You mentioned our friend from Stuck Mojo did the same thing. He was a Canadian that moved to the United States. Stuck Mojo could always use another vocalist.
Ooh. When they inevitably kick that kid out for, I don't know, shooting up heroin or something like that, they've got yes, that is slander. He can have Uncle Adams as a replacement.
I don't know who that would be a downgrade for, honestly.
It's pretty bad all over. Well, have we learned anything?
How not to live your life?
Don't have dreams?
It's easier than ever, I think. Given all the tools available to be moderately successful in entertainment, you know, as a visual artist, as a musician, as a person who talks to their webcam, the thing is you have to adjust your expectations, because there are so many people with the same tools available that we're all kind of butting up against each other. The best thing that you can do is put out your work and hope that you find a moderate audience that loves you enough to give you a little bit of money. I feel very fortunate that like Toil of Hell has reached a level of where we've got a few hundred people that listen to us, and some people give us a little bit of money. And in the case of having a traumatic pug surgery, I can take some of that money and not go horrifically into debt. So I think adjusting expectations is ideal. If you're in a metal band, if you're a rapper, if you're any kind of artist or entertainer whatsoever, do not ever, ever put yourself into horrific life-ending debt to try to support these dreams, because it's just, it's not going to happen. For Uncle Adams or for you.
There's really no hope for someone who's just going to like quit their job, sell their house, get rid of everything they have, and just put it all into anything. I know it sounds harsh because there's this romantic idea that like, oh, if you just work hard enough, you'll make it. You're not going to. I mean, this is a guy whose very first video that he put out, you know, it did go viral and it worked for him, and now he's $227,000 in debt. If you upload your 2-track black metal demo to Bandcamp, don't quit your job.
I disagree. If you upload your 2-track black metal demo to Bandcamp, you should absolutely quit your job. Toss in your chips. with an outright white nationalist. Get a death's head tattoo on your bicep. Sell your house, buy a motorcycle. This is, you need to do it. You need to live live by the way that you you believe, you know? Walk the walk, talk the talk, as it were.
Well, maybe that's the secret, because we're saying Uncle Adams, he hasn't gone full racist yet. But meanwhile, you have someone like Taki, you have them, they're trying to come to America. They had a whole tour booked. Like, if it wasn't canceled, presumably they would have made some money on it. Mm-hmm. Or you have like Uncle Adams here. He is just vlogging about various hardships facing him in his life. Varg does the same thing, but he's also a Nazi. He's much more successful.
Does YouTube allow Varg to monetize his videos?
I hope so. I mean, the free market demands it.
His channel is shockingly popular for how of a just a doddering old piece of shit that he is.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't even really make sense, because all he does is talk about like RPGs and finding a good wife, which I guess, yeah, I mean, must work for some people, I guess.
And he does karate in his backyard.
Yeah. Tosses
okay,
axes.
Now I'm in.
Yeah. Okay, so I don't know if we've ever really talked about it, but like the YouTube audience, there are people that like, that's all they do. Like, their entertainment is they watch YouTube videos. They find personalities on YouTube, and that's what they're into. And the thing is that most YouTube personalities are the worst people on earth. So like, it's a younger crowd who are like clueless and looking for something, and YouTube is full of people that will give them advice. So like, Tuli in Perspective or whatever the fuck Varg's channel is, like, you have 13-year-old dipshits that are like, yes, I would absolutely love to learn about archery and RPGs and finding a beautiful virginal wife. So his audience is nothing but like impressionable children that are getting all their advice from an old Nazi. And if that doesn't make you concerned about the future of the country or the world in general, wow. You have
it,
better
it
hopes.
It kind of makes sense. Like, you basically have YouTube content has no barrier to entry. Like, anybody can watch it, and as long as you speak English, you're going to understand it. So it's like, if you're not a super smart person, if you're not like a big reader, you can always watch a YouTube video, and these people know that, and they make terrible content.
It's cool. Do you have any thoughts on this in general, Jordan?
What could possibly be said?
I weep for the future, not just because of oncoming strife due to climate catastrophe or civil war. It's mostly because we've got kids who, for entertainment, watch old murderers and Swedish Nazis play Minecraft for entertainment.
Norwegian.
No, whatever, fuck it. All the same shit.
No, I thought PewDiePie was Swedish.
Oh, true. I thought we were still talking about Varg.
Does Varg play Minecraft?
I hope so.
I would actually watch
Actually,
that
I
video.
Wouldn't believe that he doesn't, because it embodies everything that he wants in his life. You know, you go out, you do all this hard work, mining, working the soil, you draw out the minerals or whatever. I don't really know what Minecraft is, but you know, you don't actually have to do any of that stuff. It's so much easier.
Yeah, that's fair. And then at the end of the day, you go home to your trad wife, and you've made it.
Trads for the
chads. Yeah. Christian, you have anything else you want to plug on this one before I go, like, consider putting a bullet in my head?
Well, I was just going to say, my band, Those Darn Gnomes, we have a new album coming out this year. I'm going to be quitting my job, so definitely buy it, because I also am selling my house. If you want to buy my car, I can sell that to you for maybe $1,500 if you'll give me a ride back. And other than that, there's a pawn shop by my house where you can buy some of my old tools.
Tight. I'll be on the lookout for all of those things. Jordan, do you want to hammer on anything before we kill it?
Kill it dead.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.